We had Bishop Richard Johnson with his wife Dawn here last week, and Dawn brought a very, very wonderful message dealing with the fruit of the Spirit and just kind of put it in a perspective in a way that I'd never thought of before. Learned a lot. So get on there and listen. See what's been said. Go back over old messages. Pay close attention with your Bible and find out where I messed up so we can come and discuss it. Because that could happen. I want to talk this morning about the concept, God chose you. Do you ever feel like you're overlooked? Do you ever feel like you're unimportant? Ever feel like nobody cares? God chose you. Each and every one of us. 1 Samuel 16, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn over Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint to me the one that I name to you.'" You know the situation. Saul is king over Israel. This is Saul was the very first king over the nation of Israel. And Saul had been told to go kill the Amalekites. Go wipe them out. Wipe them out because of their wickedness. Utterly destroy them. So Saul goes and he comes back and he brings Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And he brings the best of the sheep and the goats and the fine garments and all of the good stuff. They destroyed the bad stuff, but they brought what they thought was the good stuff. So Samuel says, "Why didn't you do what I told you to do?" He said, "I did. God said, go destroy them, and I utterly destroyed them. But the people brought back all this good stuff to sacrifice to the Lord your God." So not only is Saul saying, "It's not my fault, the people did it because of your God." And Samuel said to Saul, "Does the Lord have as much delight in sacrifice or in obedience, in sacrifice as in obedience?" He said, "Because you have rejected the Lord has rejected you for being king over Israel." So that's what sets this up. Now God says, "Tell Samuel, go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to anoint one of his sons to be the next king." So drop down to verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, beginning with verse 6. And it says, "So it was when they came," that is Jesse and his sons, "that he looked at Eliab, the oldest son, and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" When I tell you God chose you, understand it has absolutely nothing to do with what you see when you look in the mirror. Doesn't do it. If you look in the mirror and see all your flaws, that's not what God's looking at. If you look in the mirror and you're a little conceited and see nothing but good looking, that's not what the Lord's looking at either. God does not see as a man sees. God looks at the heart. When I tell you God chose you, I mean it has nothing to do with your outward appearance. Absolutely nothing. Carrying on, verse 8. "So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.'" You know the story. They went and they got David from the field. David came in before Samuel. The Lord said, "This is the one," and he anointed the youngest, the one that was so insignificant they didn't even bother to call him to come to the feast. Hey, the prophet's coming, and he's going to anoint one of the sons. He's going to anoint one of your brothers. But it's more important for that you be in the field than you even be here and be part of that celebration. It doesn't matter if everyone else has discounted you. God has chosen you, and it has nothing to do with what you see in the mirror. It has nothing to do with an outward appearance. It has nothing to do with other people's expectations of you. God has chosen you. He has a plan and purpose and has chosen each and every one of us. Down in Judges 6, beginning with verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezerite. Anybody ever look at the words, the names in the Old Testament and say, what in the world do you do that? I have a solution. Bob, Rick, Bill. Because sometimes the actual name means something, and when you look it up, you'll get some insight. But most of the time, it's a name that's just going to twist your tongue. There's a time and a purpose for understanding what they are. Knowing as you go through like the genealogies and you see how this one begat this one and this one begat this one. And you realize that the Word of God is important and it touches people's lives. I was a missionary when I first came back to the Lord. We went to Israel. I was in Israel for a year and a half. And on my way to Israel, we stopped in France and we stopped in the Ukraine. We stopped in Hungary and we stopped in Greece. And in each place, we passed out Bibles. When we got to the Ukraine, it was shortly after communism had fallen. The Ukrainian government, the Ukrainian people had been under communist suppression for so many years where the Bible was against the law, religion was against the law. And we are handing out Bibles, and they are thrilled to get them. And then I noticed that they're tearing the Bibles in half so that they can share them. And I got to thinking, how would you like to be the person that got the genealogies? And I realized the genealogies tell us that God knows where we came from. That our past is not hidden from Him. That God is paying attention even to the things we consider insignificant. And I was sharing that in here one Sunday. And there was a lady visiting. Her sister was attending at the time. And she was visiting her sister and came to the church. And she was there the very first time in here that I shared that. And I talked about how just the fact that the genealogies are in there show that God knows where you come from. And God is paying attention, knows about your past. And the lady went home and she called her sister and said, "I had just prayed that morning asking God, why is this stuff even in here? And here your pastor had an answer." I didn't know she said that, but God did. God's paying attention even to the words of our mouth, even to the thoughts of our heart. He chose you for a purpose. He loves you and He cares for you. So here we go. We're back at Joash the Abiezerite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. So you know that the winepress is not set up to thresh wheat. The winepress is set up to press wine, to stomp on the grapes. The threshing floor is set up to thresh wheat, but he didn't want to go to the threshing floor because the enemy was watching the threshing floor so that he could do all the work and they could come and steal it. So he's there. He's in the wine press. He's in a place they did not expect him. But God knew he was there. And the angel of the Lord came where Gideon threshed the wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. So in that one little passage there where we read about Gideon, we say, first off, how can God be with us when things are going wrong? Do we see that in our own lives today? Do we see that in the world around us? Do we see that in our circumstances? Or do we trust that God is with us even when we don't understand what's happening? But notice also, God chose Gideon, and Gideon was weak in his own eyes. He said, I am the least of my father's house. My father's house is the least in the land. How can you be with me? How can you pick me? God choosing you has nothing to do with your own expectation and your own evaluation of yourself. God doesn't see as a man sees. When God chose you, He chose you because He sees something that you don't. He sees something that the people around don't. God has a plan and a purpose and is at work in our lives. Jeremiah 1, beginning with verse 4, says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. God told Jeremiah, before you were even born, I called you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet. Now, who here thinks God loves Jeremiah more than He loves you? Who here thinks that God was paying more attention to Jeremiah than He pays attention to you? He is either God and knows everything and is omnipotent, or He's not God, right? That's how this works. If God loves us, and God tells us in His Word, first off, that He knew who David was when David was out in the field. And it didn't matter what the other people thought. It didn't matter even what Jesse thought, the father thought, that he wasn't even worth bringing out to come to the sacrifice where God was going to anoint, the prophet was going to anoint one of his brothers to be the king. He's so insignificant that they didn't even bother to get him. No, that's the one God wanted. Not because of what he'd done, but because of what God was doing in the background. Gideon, unsure of himself, hiding in the wine press, hiding from the enemy, the least of his father's house being the least of the nation, he says, how can you do that? How can you pick me? How can I do this? God says, I have a plan and a purpose. God is at work. Jeremiah wasn't even born when God was working on him. I'm here to tell you, you were not born when God started working in your lives. And if you go back and you take a look, a couple of years ago, Deb and I had gone to Branson, Missouri. It was our 15th anniversary. We'd gone to Branson, Missouri for our wedding anniversary. And on the way back, we were praying and asking for God's guidance. We were kind of nervous about the weather up along the Great Lakes, it being the middle of November. But we were trying to find out something, and we could not find anything on the radio about any storms. We looked online. We couldn't find out anything about any storms. And we got into Ohio, almost out of Ohio, and we stopped to just, didn't even need gas. We stopped for a bathroom break off the highway. And as we're sitting at the stoplight, there's, of course, interstate, you got four corners. Three of those corners had gas stations. And a vehicle goes past us with Vermont plates. We haven't seen Vermont plates in 12 days. And here we see a vehicle with Vermont plates, and they happen to be going to the same gas station we're going to. So they pull up to the pump. I just come up next to them, tooted the horn, waved, and went and parked and went to talk to them for a few minutes. And they said, don't go near Erie. There's a horrible storm. And God says, before you call, I will answer. God had made the provision to answer that prayer as we were saying, Lord, what do we do? Do we go near the lakes? What do we go around? What do we do? and trying to get answers, and we couldn't get answers from any way that made sense to the natural mind. We checked the radio, we checked the internet, we were checking TV stations when we were stopped anywhere, trying to find out what was going on. There was no way to get an answer. But all of a sudden, here's this person who says, "Oh yeah, don't go that way. It's a bad storm." Come to find out, they're from Hinesburg. We were at least 10 hours away. And this is 10 o'clock in the morning. So they'd either started in the middle of the night or they'd started the day before to get there, to be the person directly in front of us pulling in there, to have the answer to the prayer that we had. You following me with this? And then come to find out they were going to see their son who moved to Cincinnati 4 years earlier. So if the son hadn't moved there 4 years earlier, they wouldn't have been there that day. But then if they didn't have the son who was in his 30s, he wouldn't have been in Cincinnati. They wouldn't have been there that day. How far back has God been working on answering your prayers? How far back has God been directing your steps? How far back has God chose you? Go back to the genealogies for a minute. As you look through those genealogies, you know that God knows where you came from. We are not a surprise to Him. Our circumstances are not a surprise to Him. God chose you. You're not insignificant, no matter what you think or no matter what anybody else thinks. You're not unimportant. You're precious in the sight of God. He loves you and He cares for you. Even when things don't seem to be going right, even as Gideon says, "If the Lord is with us, how come the enemies come up against us? How come we're having problems if God's for us?" All of this is to teach us. All of this is to guide us. This world is but a vapor. Our time on this earth, however many years it is, however many days it is. Deb and I had a grandson that lived 2 weeks. Once upon a time, I rented a bed in a boarding house from Luella Cattell. Anybody recognize that name? Debbie does. Luella Cattell ran a boarding house that her father had built in St. Albans. And if you go into the Historical Society in St. Albans, you will see a classroom that was mocked up, set up, where Luella Cattell used to teach. She was born the year St. Albans City was founded. At the 100th anniversary of the city, they opened this museum exhibit of her classroom. And before it opened, they brought her in. She was 100 years old. And they said, here's a mock-up of your classroom. What do you think about it? She said, "Oh, this is all wrong. That needs to be over there. That needs to be over there. That needs to be over there." When I knew her, she was 102. I was renting a room from this woman, a short woman, 4'6" maybe, short little woman. And I was working at the time at Whistler's Restaurant in St. Albans, which is now St. Albans Diner, I believe it is. And I came home from work one day, and here this 102-year-old woman couldn't stand this tall, couldn't have been 65, 70 pounds, little bitty thing. She's on her hands and knees scrubbing the kitchen floor with a washcloth at 102. She ended up falling later that year, broke her hip, and died at 103. So at 103, Luella Cattell, our grandson, lived 2 weeks. We don't know how long we have. But however many days we have are nothing but a flash, if even that, compared to eternity. But God is at work in us, and He has chosen us, and He is at working in us for His plan and purpose. And He has called us, and He puts people in our path, and He uses us to impact other people's lives. Because He loves us, and He's called us to be in relationship with Him. John 6, beginning with verse 41. The Jews then complained about Him, that's Jesus, because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How is it then that He says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless My Father who has sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me." Jesus, as He was walking on this earth, as He was talking to people, they kept bringing up his past. This is Mary and Joseph's son. How can he be, you know, how did he get this knowledge? How can he be anybody important? He's just the neighbor's kid. It doesn't matter what people think about us. God has a plan and purpose for our lives. Do we get that? Do we get that in our spirit? Do we get that in our understanding? It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. You are precious in the sight of God. Final passage of Scripture, 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Doesn't matter who we were. Doesn't matter where we've been. You read in Romans. Paul is talking, and he talks about, gives a list of some sins and sins of the flesh, and he says, "And such were some of you." You were that way. Who here's been guilty? Each and every one of us. Praise God that He has had a plan and purpose for our life. That He didn't leave me where I was. I grew up in a church, and at 17 walked out. When I was 12, my mom got a prophecy that one day all three of her sons would serve the Lord. And I didn't darken a church door for 16 years. And I've got a brother who is also a pastor now in North Florida, who for 35 years, when you saw him and he was sober, you knew he was in jail. Because he was either drunk or stoned all the rest of the time. I've got another brother who has a heart of gold. He's currently not standing in a pulpit somewhere, but God is doing some wondrous things in his life as well. It doesn't matter what our past is. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what other people think about us. You are chosen by God, precious in His sight. Don't ever let anybody try and take that away from you. We stand in the grace of Almighty God because He loves us, not because of our own self, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We stand before a holy God, forgiven, redeemed, and perfected. Now, in the outward manifestation of it, maybe we still stumble and fall. No, not maybe. We still stumble and fall. But that doesn't give us an excuse or a reason to stay where we are, because God still has a plan and purpose for our lives. He has chosen you for a reason. He loves you and He's called you. Let's give Him the praise and recognize that He is God over all, that He is the one who is able to make us to stand. Scripture says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will not be utterly cast down. Scripture also says, who are you to judge as another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. God is the one that's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. To want to and to be able to do the things He's called us for. Praise God. Because if I was relying on me, I'd be in trouble. But I can rely on Him. I just have to get myself out of the way. And realize that my imagination, my expectation, my understanding, and even what other people think about me doesn't change the fact that I am chosen by a holy God who is at work in my life, just as you are. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who has chosen us. Father, that you have drawn us, that you teach us, that you guide us. And Father, that you are at work in us. We thank you, Lord, for our circumstances, even the bad ones, Father, that drive us to our knees. We thank you, Father, that you are at work, even, Father, causing good from even the most devastating events. Because you are a holy God and you are the one who is at work in the big picture. Before we were born, you knew us. Before we were formed in the womb, you had called us. And Father, we just give praise for that. We can take our hands off the wheel. We can take our hands off the control button. And we can get ourselves off the throne of our hearts to allow, get out of the way, Father, that you guide our lives and direct us. For for you are God over all, and you are worthy of our praise. Amen. Praise the Lord.